Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Well, hello everyone.
And welcome to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare their books to their movies.
I am Bree.
I'm Allie. And we have a wonderful guest with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Kalisa, and I am the host of Busy Reading Romanticy Podcast.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Busy Reading Romanticy is a podcast that focuses mainly, shockingly, on romanticy books, but we do kind of explore outwards. But mostly it's just kind of following our curiosities and interests. I talk to authors and then I talk to fellow readers to go through just different books that I love, basically.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
Who's been your favorite author to talk to?
The first one that comes to mind is Allie Maddox. And she was actually my very first like author interview. I showed up and I was like, so I've never done an interview before, but it was great because it's nice to just have like a conversation, and we got along really great. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Well, we are excited to have you here, and today we are here to talk about Uglies.
Yes.
Ooh. I'm so excited.
I know, me too. Brand new to Netflix and everything, so
yeah,
do it.
Yeah. Ready? Let's do it. Yeah, I guess you can be in charge.
Okay,
of the mouse.
I'll do the mouse. All right, so our synopsis is: a teenager named Tally rebels against a society that forces people to undergo cosmetic surgery to become pretty.
I think I didn't tell the people that are listening that there's a chance they're going to hear Roscoe and Aspen.
Oh, yeah.
So Roscoe started to whine.
The dogs are here.
Yes. We've recorded with these pets quite often, and they always, at some point, start crying or something.
Yes. That is why mine are not allowed in the room with me.
Yes.
Like, they'll be passed out, and the minute I'm talking, they're like, so actually?
They're like, yeah. Oh, hey.
Hey.
All right, so we have our author as Scott Westerfield. The director was McG or MCG? What would you say?
I would say McG.
McG.
MCG. I like that. Well,
our screenplay writers were Jacob Foreman, Vanessa Taylor, Whit Anderson. And I did audiobook reader as Brianne Chu, I think. She plays
Shay. I thought that was cool.
Oh, wow.
My audiobook reader was not. I did not like my audiobook reader. She reminded me of the audiobook reader for the last song, which we've covered already. And I audiobooked that one too, and I did not like her then.
You gotta pick and choose and try before you buy.
I didn't realize that there would be multiple, like, I just was like, cool, here's the audiobook, this is what I gotta get.
I'm an audiobook reader, she is a regular reader, so this is a whole new environment for her.
I started a job and I was like, wow, to do any of our stuff I'm going to have to do audiobooks a little bit more often than I do, so I just,
you have a long commute too, it's kind of perfect.
It's nice, but we're about to be covering Schindler's List, and she was like, oh, Schindler's List is only 5 hours long. And I was like, what? No. And then she shows me the audiobook that she found. And I was like, how did you find this? I literally only found the one that I found.
But no, mine ended up being not the right one.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is the, called? The abridged version, where they just cut out stuff. What made me even more sad was Ben Kingsley was the audiobook reader, and I was like, that would have been a great listen. I was about to stop listening to a book that I already listened 8 hours to go jump to this 5-hour book.
Yep.
We get on tangents on our podcast.
Sorry. No, fair. I'm all for it. Yeah.
I realized halfway through what I was saying, I was like, why are you talking so gosh.
All right, so the book came out in 2005 and the movie came out September 13th, 2024. That's a 9-year difference.
Wow, I thought that came out sooner. I feel like time's been flying this year, man. Right. I thought that came out just like a month ago.
I did too. I didn't realize it was all the way back in September. Which, I mean,
honestly, that makes sense. I remember the hype in the summer.
Well, I don't. All right, so what did we do first? Did you read it first or see it first?
So I think I got kind of a special situation. So I did read it first. I read the whole series back probably close to when it came out. I want to say I was between like 10 to 13. So when I finally saw the movie, it's been, you know, 10 plus years. It's been quite a while. So I feel like when I watched the movie, it felt like fresh to me because I had kind of remembered the concept, but I didn't know a lot of the details. So I feel like I got a double dip a little bit where I knew the concept, but they were both new to me at different times of my life. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm bummed. I didn't read this when this first came out. And I think I missed out. I would have ate it up. I wish I yeah.
I've never heard anyone talk about it. And it's one of my favorite series. Because I was just like, what a cool concept.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is like when we went to do it, all I got stuck on was there's kids who have to get turned pretty. And so they don't want to be ugly. And I was like, as a 30-year-old, I was like, this is horrible. Why is this a concept? What? So I went into reading, because I read it first. And so I went into reading it and I was like, I'm going to hate this. Just like try and put yourself back in that mentality where you're a teenager again reading this book. After the second chapter, I was like, this is not at all what I thought this was going to be. And I love this. And when it ended, I was like, this is about to be one that I'm just going to have to read the rest of the series.
Yes, I watched it first. So I, that's what I did. My sister-in-law actually messaged me. She's like, have you read or watched Uglies yet? I was like, no. And then she wasn't getting my text messages. So she never replied. But I was like, oh, it must be a good one. So you kind of shared your initial thoughts. You kind of shared yours. They're your favorites. And I like it. I liked it a lot. It was a good book. And I assume the series would be as good.
Yeah.
All right. So why do we pick it?
Because in our Instagram group chat, you were like, you were one of the few people who, when I like messaged out, like, I would love to have people collab with me or with us.
Sorry. She said, just me.
Just me. I'm cutting Molly out of this one. And you were like, I would love to do the Uglies. I was like, all right, let's do it. Like, I also knew that it had just came out. So I was like, that's probably a good one to cover pretty quick because it's good for traction, I think.
Yeah. Cool. I was excited. Like I said, no one had ever talked. Like, it's one of those, because I was younger, I didn't really, like, I guess, talk to other people about books. I guess I didn't really talk to other people. That's why I'm a big reader. So now as an adult, I was like, oh, yeah. I have friends that like books now, so I can talk to somebody about this.
Yeah. I love it.
Awesome.
All right. So I always do some fun facts, and I was very sad to find out that there were only 5 fun facts in the movie.
I mean, that's how many you get. So that's nice. At least it wasn't like some of the ones where it's only 3. But one of them, that's sad.
One of them was based on a book. I was like,
that's a good fun fact.
Pretty bummed about that. But okay, my other 4 were Joey King, who is a fan of the books, has said that Tally Youngblood is one of her dream roles and she got to play her. So that's pretty exciting. Film set at the same location as the movie Allegiant.
Oh,
I recognized it. Did you recognize it when you watched it?
But Allegiant's also my least favorite movie. That's, oh man, if you want to get me heated about an adaptation, talk to me about Allegiant.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Number three, at the time of filming, 25-year-old Joey King played a 15-year-old girl.
I did not realize that Joey King was that old.
I didn't either. And then Chase Stokes played a 16-year-old. I think that's Paris. And he was actually 32.
Whoa.
Those are my fun facts. They weren't very fun this time. But yeah.
They did good. Right. I would not have thought that they were that old.
No.
No, not in the slightest.
Mm-hmm. Every time I've seen Joey King in anything, she's always played a child.
Yeah.
Or like a young teenager. So I assumed she was like maybe 18, 19.
Yeah.
Not 25. Nope. And I never would have guessed that he was 32.
No. Are we ready to get started?
Yeah.
I made a note to start with movie because movie starts before book does.
Because we get to see Paris. Yeah,
we get to see their relationship.
Oh, yeah, their relationship start because it starts with them on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically we get to see them meeting and being young kids doing their tricks and stuff when that is not at all how it starts in the book. My first note actually says, get to see ugly Paris. And that, I feel so bad. My notes are like, ugly Paris, pretty Tally. Like, what else? Also, when they're up there chit-chatting, Paris freaking makes a promise to Tally about, like, come visit me in a month. When in the book, she just goes to Pretty Town in a month because she misses him.
Mm-hmm.
Not this whole, like, oh, we were supposed to meet at the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, well, actually, no, because then they go to their little, like, ceremony for the pretty, for him to turn pretty, where you then, it felt very Divergent-esque, where it was, like, everyone's getting to choose their, or not choose, well, yeah, choose their factions, but instead of factions, it's,
congratulations,
you're getting pretty.
I was just so confused because I was like, so do they hold this ceremony every day because it's someone's birthday?
That's what
every
I was
day?
Trying to figure
like,
out.
I was so interested.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like quite a few kids got up from what I remember. That'd be a lot of first there's like, yeah.
Maybe they do like one in a month. And they're like,
maybe.
Oh, but no, because they're all supposed to turn it on their birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was confused.
And they make all the people who aren't turning go and watch them get to go.
I know.
Every day. I would hate that.
I know. Who knows?
That's like the new Pledge of Allegiance. Bye, guys.
Yes. To you.
Well, the book does not do that. And in the book, it kicked off with Tally sneaking into New Pretty Town. And this town, as we said, only has pretty people. And her best friend turned pretty a month ago. So she's been waiting for him and like he hasn't contacted her. So she decided to go see him. And she gets there and there's this machine that's like spitting out masquerade masks. And she puts one on so that she wouldn't be seen as an ugly.
The other thing that happened at the assembly thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They heard about the smoke there. Like, there's a bunch of kids sitting there, like, talking about David and the smoke. And, like, oh, the David? He doesn't exist.
All right. So, everybody's pointing and making fun of Tally because she has this pig mask on. And this is, like, a black tie event that she's at. And she hides in the elevator where she runs into Paris. But he's totally different. Doesn't seem excited to see her. And he tells her that she needs to start following the rules because he wants to see her pretty. And she promises that she will. And she ends by asking if they're best friends. And she's like, yes, we will be in 3 months once you're pretty. And I was like, oh, man.
It's like, I wouldn't talk to you then.
That sucks. And she noticed that they had a scar on their hands that they got together. And his was all patched up. And he tells her, go to the roof and jump off with the bungee jump because then you won't get caught.
In the movie, before he's I almost said before he's ugly, before he's pretty, she asks him about, hey, are you gonna get that scar removed? And he's like, oh, never, we're best friends. So then it's even more of a like deep cut when she's like, your scar, it's gone,
because I never promised it in the book, they just had it together.
Exactly. Well, we didn't see him
Yep. Until he was pretty.
Right.
In the book. Also, I just want to ask both of you, how did you picture this pig mask? Oh, you watched
it. I watched it,
first. How did you picture the pig mask?
I think I pictured like something you could pick up at Party City, like just like a latex kind of headband situation. I will say I was really impressed with how the movie showed like New Pretty Town. I was like, oh, this is really cool. My brain did not create all that, like the fireworks and the technology and stuff. I think the first time I read the book as a kid, I did, because I was younger, I did have a hard time kind of comprehending certain things, like the idea of like a hoverboard folding out. Like I just didn't have kind of like the futuristic tech stuff we have now, like that. Okay. I couldn't picture certain things. So I was really impressed with how they did that. Although I like in the book how they met in an elevator. It just felt like more intimate, and they were kind of there versus them in the movie on the rooftop where like everyone could see it. It was a very quick scene. Yeah.
I was upset about that. Also, Paris was a bigger dick in the movie than in the book, I felt like.
Well, he was barely in the book.
Yeah, that's true. But like in this scene specifically, I was like, wow. Like in the book, it felt like he was like, I remember you from my past life. Our past life, and I know that we have a bond, but there's a difference here now, and once we're once you're pretty, everything will be back to normal. Whereas in the movie he was just like, I'm pretty, I don't care about you. And I was like, what, Paris? That's rude. But Paris didn't help her escape in the movie either. He didn't like say, go over there, there's gonna be bungees, get that. I'll go run and like get everyone off your case. Instead, he was just like, bye.
You're not pretty.
Yeah.
Good luck.
But also, I wanted to say, I have a brain that also does not let me, I cannot for the life of me imagine things. Like, it's really hard for me to come up with, like, when I'm doing audiobooks, I cannot for the life of me put together what they're saying. Like, I've learned that I see words in my head rather than pictures. And so when I'm doing an audiobook, I'm just looking at essentially the words. So it's really hard with Schindler's List because it's just like, Fräulein, I'm like, German name, German name. Okay. But yeah, so when I try to picture things too, it's always like difficult for me. But I pictured freaking like the pig mask in that horror movie, like The Strangers or whatever, where it's like full with the ears up like big. So when it was this like really cute mask, it's like, how does that block that you're ugly?
Did magic like turn her dress pretty?
I know, that was really cool.
I was about to say that was cool.
All right, so, and feel free to jump in if we miss anything and you're like, how did you guys not say that? Please jump in.
Oh, well, perfect timing, because I did. So I, in preparation for this, I had watched the movie, and then that's when I went on the chat and was like, guys, someone who wants to talk to me about this. So then in preparation, I reread the book, and then I rewatched the movie now that I had the context from the book. And I feel like a lot of like fantasy movies tend to have like this like monologue in the beginning to kind of like get people up to speed. Yeah. So I did note that like right off the bat, the movie kind of changed what the book had, where the movie said that the flower was the answer to this like fossil fuel issue, which was different than what the book had set up. So makes sense, because it simplifies some things for the movie's sake. Right. But I was like, wait, that's not it.
I didn't even catch that, because I do like the rap at the beginning that catches us up, but I didn't click that they lied to us.
I wanted to ask, we're way at the start of the book, so a lot of my questions with this aren't, we're about to spoil some stuff. But I just wanted to know, because like there were things that changed, like Paris becoming a special and like all of this, but I was like, are they pushing it into this movie because they're like, what if we can't make the other ones and this is a storyline that actually happens, or was this they just wanted to make a good dramatic moment for the movie? So I wanted to know from you,
like if the Paris thing was in future books or stuff.
So the way the books are set up, Pretty's specials and extras, And there's a reason for that.
Extras.
Yeah. Oh. So there's, okay. You learn more about the different people within society as you're going along. So there is quite a full journey, not to give spoilers away, as we're learning more about kind of the back ends of society. Most people get to pretties and they're happy and bubbly and kind of stay there. Obviously, Tally does not follow that. So we get a little bit more popping through all of it. But I do think, I agree. I think a lot of things that were changed within the movie were just for like simplicity purposes. And it's hard to fit everything in there. And like, I'm interested to see that if they are able to make like more movies, how they continue changing. Because that was another thing that I wrote down as well, that in the movie, Cable is also the governor, so she like runs everything.
Yes,
versus in the book, she's just part of special circumstances, not like you know. So
it's like this person that no one knows in the book, and then Molly's like, "Oh, I don't like you," but then in the movie, everyone's like, "Oh, Cable, oh, Cable."
Yeah, right, like, right.
Okay. Okay. So the book continues, and Tally ran to the roof, and along the way, the fire alarm gets pulled, and she bungee jumps off the roof. And she's hiding near the water. And then she runs into this other girl who's also kind of hiding, and her name is Shay. And they made a friendship, and they hung out all summer long. And Shay teaches Tally how to hoverboard. And we find out all of Shay's friends are gone. And Tally assumes it's because they became pretty.
This basically happens, except for the movie had to make it a bit more dramatic. And so, like, Tally basically is about to get caught, and then Shay comes up behind her and is like, "Get on my hoverboard." And they do all these cool tricks, and she's like, "What?"
Few training montage.
So the girls have the same birthday, which Tally's so excited about because they're going to become pretty on the same day. But Shay gets kind of awkward, and they hang out, and Tally's swiping through her morph photos, which is what she's going to look like when she's pretty, or she wants to look like. Basically, The Sims is what I...
That's exactly what I took it, except for they never, like, pursued and went and, like, made a life for The Sims. Exactly. It was just for their faces.
Tally shares how much she hates her right side, and Shay's like, "I never made one of these before." And Tally found this insane. She's like, "We're going to do it." And she convinces her, but Shay hates every single second of it, and she just wants to go hoverboard.
I kind of wish that we saw Tally making Shay's to see, like, what it would have looked like what their making of her pretty would have looked like. But I think they don't do that because
the big surprise.
Yeah, the thing that happens at the end. So they're like, "Oh, we can't see that." Yeah. And then they do go hoverboard.
Yeah. I, watching the movie first, thought Shay at this point was real shady. Like, I was like, there's something wrong with this. Like not that she just didn't want to be pretty, but I thought there was something, like, she was going to be not a good character.
She just was someone who did not want to be there.
Yes. Found that out.
I will say the movie kind of plays into Shay being, they play into her having a crush on Tally a bit more in the movie than they do in the book.
I felt that too.
Like in the book, I kind of felt like there could have been a crush there, but then not as strongly as in the movie. Whereas in the movie, even when David's in the picture, it felt like she was more so jealous because he was hanging out with Tally and Tally was leaving her behind, not like, "Yo, David's mine."
Right.
I feel, I don't know if you guys agree, and I think maybe it's just because, like, with a book, you just tend to get more. Shay felt like a happier human in the book, even, like, despite everything. She kind of, there was moments where there was a lot more, like, happiness and everything. And I think in the book, she just tended, or in the movie, because of the timeline of events, it had to be a little bit more quicker, where you kind of saw some, like, the shadiness or kind of why she got left. You know, she stayed behind when her friends left and everything. And all of those kind of feelings.
I think that's probably why I felt she was a bad character in, at first in the movie. Because I wouldn't have thought that reading it.
No. Because that's a good... I didn't even, like, make that correlation because I had read the book. So I just knew, like, who she was. Because when you read it, it just felt like she was, like, a class clown. Like, trying to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that she would have been my friend movie-wise. Book-wise, no. They like got along great. And I was like, oh, wow, like a friend, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Shay really wanted to go to the ruins, which Tally didn't want to do because she's worried they'd get busted and it's dangerous and she's already been there on a field trip. What's the point? But Shay convinced her and they went to do one more fun thing before they changed. So Tally went with her. And while they're exploring, she brought her to the rapids and it ended up being really cool. And they got to like go down these rapids and but then there's no metal around them. And so then they're walking for a bit and then they get to as they're going, they learn all these things. Tally learns all these things that the city is doing wrong, like all the lies. And of course, Tally's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, why do you believe this?
The metal's important, everyone who's listening, because the hoverboards float over the metal. So if there's no metal, your hoverboard falls. It's like, yep, not working.
So then they get to the ruins and there's this roller coaster. And Tally's never seen one before. And Shay tells her, okay, ride your board on it, but go fast. And she does. And there's a part that's broken. She ends up like almost crashing and falling off. Shay thinks it's hilarious. And she's like, you'll laugh about this later because I did when my friend told me about it. And this is when we learn about David, who showed her the roller coaster. And Shay's like, okay, you got to promise you're not going to tell anyone what I'm about to tell you.
Correct me. In the movie, she only goes over the broken part when Shay's gone, right? Because when I was watching it, I got to her going over it and I was like, Shay never showed you how to get over this. And then I was like, how are you supposed to understand this note if she never showed you this?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they read it together. Yeah. Because
they got to the like one part where they just light the fire to message David. And she's like, I'm not going back. I am going to the smoke. You should come with me. And Tally's like, nope, I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Okay. My notes. All right. So this is when Shay lights her little sparklers, but no one's answering. And Tally's starting to freak out. And she's like, we need to go back. And Shay's like, fine. She got really disappointed, but she agreed. So Tally and Shay decided to play a prank on the new uglies. And they got a bungee jacket and they faked an argument. And Tally shoved Shay out the window and she almost landed on these 12-year-olds and they're just busting up laughing. And
I wish that was in the movie.
It's not in the movie. I would know.
It's because that night, that's when Shay goes off and Tally goes home.
Yeah. Like,
they don't have her come back to the town.
I feel like we didn't get as much kind of life of like what life is like in this universe in the movie. Again, I think just due to like time constraints, you can't have everything in there, but like the whole concept of the bridge, like tattling, I think maybe Shay mentioned it at one point, but unless you had read the book, that would not have made any sense to you or like held any, you know, kind of this idea of like being watched by the minders. We see it in the movie, but we don't know exactly what it is or like kind of all of the like gadgets and technology that's within this world, how this world works, you know. That's explained better in the book.
I agree
for sure. All right, so Tally and Shay get in a big fight because Shay doesn't want to be pretty, and Tally thought that was the most ridiculous thing she's ever heard. And they have 1 week left till they get pretty, and so they parted ways for a little bit, and then Shay comes back eventually and they both apologize to each other and they just want to do one more crazy trick. So she brought Tally to the outskirts and told her that they're going to go find the smoke, and in the smoke they stay ugly forever and it's perfect. And Tally thought she was crazy, but before Shay left, she gave her a coded message to find her.
And this does not happen because it's already happened.
Yeah. Kind of mixed with the
other part. It's like they put the two different ruined pieces of the book into one in the movie.
So Tally's getting ready for her operation and she's the only one in the room because she's the only one that's birthday that day besides Shay. Just want to say that.
That's another good point with the like, was there really, you know, 11 people that had, how big is this place really?
Right. Yeah. Had birthdays that day. The movie, yeah, what the heck?
Questions.
What were you guys thinking? Yeah.
So she was picked up by a guy and brought to a different building because there's a problem with her operation.
And it turns out she was brought to Dr. Cable, who she didn't know. And Dr. Cable was really mean. And she's basically like, hey, Shay was kidnapped. And you know what? You need to go help us find her. Or you need to help us find her. And Tally's like, well, I don't know. I can't say anything. I don't know. And Dr. Cable said, fine, you can say ugly for all I care. I don't care. Get out of here. And she was not like that in the movie.
No. This is one of the things I'll let you talk about this.
But I was watching it first. I was like, oh, yeah, she's going to be shady. But she's like that manipulative shady. And then reading it, I was like, oh, no, she's just flat out mean. Like, like if they had done her like this in the movie, it would not have been like, I don't know. It would have been
anticlimactic, yeah. Is what it was. They needed a villain. And so, because like in the movie after this, this is when Cable goes and gets Paris and is like, we need to give you more pretty.
Yeah.
And turns him into a special.
Yeah.
Like, and so
it seemed like almost in the movie she was doing it. It's not for her own personal gain, but that's almost like that type of villainous, mm-hmm. like that it came off as, versus in the book, it felt like this is the way things are and this is how we need to do them. Versus she mm-hmm. was the main villain in the movie.
Yeah. I knew you had feelings about it. So
Because we had chatted. And at this point, that was the farthest I had gotten for us chatting. And I was like, okay, that's a big difference. And I just want to say, I think they do generally pretty good until the end.
The end gets so fucked.
I'm like, you did so good. Like, I was like, why do people keep saying this one did dirty? Like, it's like, yeah, there's the differences here and there. But then it's like the end. It's like, oh, they just changed their minds.
What's funny is in my, because we do reaction videos. And so in my reactions, I'm like, you know, this is going pretty good. And then like two videos later, I'm like, okay, I just said it was going pretty good and then everything went to shit. Like, I don't even know what's happening right
what
now.
What just happened?
It's like, hold on. How is this even what's happening?
All right, so Tally went back to her dorm and everybody was gone because they knew she was coming back. So they did an impromptu field trip. And then, but when they get back, they start whispering behind her back. Her parents come to visit and they're like, we know you'll do the right thing. And Tally's like, I can't help Dr. Cable because I made a promise to Shay. And they're like not comprehending. Like, what the heck does that mean? Like, we know you'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
And they like robots almost. Mm-hmm. They didn't let her come back to Middle Pretty Town with them.
When you just said that, you know what this actually reminds me of? The Stepford Wives.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's a good one. Really? Oh man, it's basically all these husbands want their wives to be the like stay-at-home moms who cook and clean the house, so they move into this like town where that's what happens to the wives. Like the wives go under procedures that then turn them into the prim and proper like
1950s wives.
Mm-hmm. It's got Nicole Kidman in it. Movie. And Matthew Broderick.
Okay.
Simba and Nicole Kidman, how can you go wrong? But I was also really mad in the movie that her parents didn't come and see her. I was like, wow, your kid isn't getting, and I get that once you're a parent and you're pretty, you don't really like, there's no tie to your kid, but still there's like some tie, right? You would hope.
Is it,
I don't know.
Is it also insinuated? Oh, go ahead.
No, you go, go.
I was going to say, is it also insinuated in the book that it's not like biological children? Maybe I made that up.
Oh.
That idea of like the middle pretties, like whenever they're ready, they can get like the littlies, the little kids, and they like raise them. And I made that up, but my brain is telling me that for some reason.
I bet you that's exactly that I thought it was like, oh, now you can procreate yourself. But now that you just said it, I'm like, oh, no. Which,
no, it makes sense because that's why Shay was so shocked that David and his dad looked alike. I just thought she was shocked because, you know, they have their faces changed already, so they don't look the same. But no, that's probably what it is. So where do all these people come from?
Yeah, that's a good question.
From the lab.
They probably go into all the different smokes and take the kids.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, true.
I,
like,
there you go.
Or they just grow them in petri dishes.
That could be it too.
Yeah, they also have the technology for that.
Yes, that's very true. I also didn't like in the movie that, like, the one thing Tally wanted to take into her prettiness was the gold eyes that her mother had. I was like, where did this come into play? This was not in the book. Like, she's like, I don't care how I look as long as I have gold eyes. And I was like, girl.
So Paris came and then convinced Tally to help Dr. Cable because he's like, hey, you made me a promise too. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're right. And so she agreed she'll tell Dr. Cable, mm-hmm. and she sent her a message saying, I'll help you after I get some sleep. And Dr. Cable's like, nah, I'm sending a car right now. And that's the last time we see Paris in the book.
Yeah, that's not the last time we see him in the movie. He does come and talk to her again. But yeah. Oh, wait, this happens. And then after that, that's when Cable talks to Paris and is like, okay,
yeah,
we're changing you now.
Yes. Surprise.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Which is funny because I would think he got changed into special circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
But special circumstances are supposed to be like these grotesque, creepy, pretties.
Yeah. Yeah. And I pictured like elves almost, like how they were describing it, like with their cat eyes. And I was like, ooh, they're like elves. If elves were real.
Like Lord of the Rings elves. Yes.
Well, no, because those are pretty. I was picturing more like, I'm going to go video game here. I was picturing more like Skyrim or like those D&D type of elves. Cause those elves are like, they have the, no one can see this in the podcast. I'm like moving my eyes, but like they've got the weird, like where the eyeball starts way up here and it comes down right here. That's what I was picturing.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think I got Hunger Game vibes when they were talking about the, like, the capital, yes, where the people who are addicted to like the morphine, yes, and the like changing themselves, because, and she does mention it, it mentions it in the book, I believe, about how she's aware that there's other towns, cities, right? And some, mm-hmm, some of them have different rules around like what's allowed, what you can change yourself into. And she, mm-hmm, mentions that like she's in one that follows kind of like more traditional beauty standards. Like there's a bit more rules around, you can't just go crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I never would have made the correlation until you said that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. See, look, now I'm going to think that they look like tigers.
I know. Yeah, exactly. That's what, when you were talking, I was like, that's what I pictured.
Yes. All right. So Tally went to Dr. Cable and she told them everything, including the note that Shay gave her. And they're like, yeah, we already know. And they made a like 3D copy of it when she first got there without her knowing. And they said, you need to go be a spy for us. And until you're successful, you're going to be ugly forever. And she's just livid.
Devastated. Yes. She's like, what the heck? I became friends with the wrong person.
You know, poor Tally.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Did they make a 3D note in the movie?
I think they have.
I don't know. I don't know. The monitor with like her pulse and everything.
That was so weird. I was like, very Hunger Games-esque, where it was like, okay, we have the arena and we see.
Yes.
I was like, this is not what I was picturing Cable doing in the books. I pictured her just like,
she was described in like her whole room was like a lie detector room. So she was, mm-hmm, able to tell. But yeah, I don't think I visualized. Well, no. I did because I watched it first, but
yeah, that's true.
Reading
that's
it. True.
Yeah. No, and then like she sees where she gets and she's like, send out the specials. Like the specials go after. I was like, that did not happen. What are you? What?
So Tally has to go do Shay's note now. And so the first clue was to take the roller coaster past the gap until you find one long and flat. And Tally's like, what the heck? But she eventually, you know, does the roller coaster and she's going a little bit and then she finds a railroad track. But I love that she doesn't know what a railroad is.
Yeah.
Yep. Why would anyone want a roller coaster that's flat on the ground? And then later when they find the trains, she's like, oh, look at those big roller coasters that they use to move things. Oh, cute. And so then she keeps going and she almost soars right off a cliff and she takes a moment and eats some spag bowl, which is their little like dry food.
This was not mentioned in the movie.
Yeah.
Was it?
Where she ate it?
No, like, because they mentioned Spag Bowl like 1,000 times. Oh, yeah. Well, in the
she
book.
Ate it like she ate it like once.
That was a bigger thing. That was she only had Spag Bowl the whole time.
Yes. And then she gets to the smoke and they're like, Spag Bowl, I want that.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's a delicacy. This is
really gross. Rehydrated Spag Bowl. Gross. Mm-hmm.
The second clue was at the second. Make the worst mistake. And so she found this broken bridge in another one, and she just had to figure out what the worst mistake was. And so she decided she needs to go down to the bottom of the canyon. So she rode her board down the side of the cliff, and the crash bracelets on her wrists kind of like helped her like not fall, but they like hurt her arms in the process. And then she noticed something big is coming.
Her arms did not get hurt in the process of that in the movie.
I don't even remember her wearing bracelets in the movie.
She did.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because this part happens and she like she falls. Wait, it wasn't this scene. It was a different scene, but she like falls and didn't think that she was gonna fall. And then she looked and was like, they work.
Oh,
wow. I always picture in the book, it kind of describes like a parent swinging their kids around because of the force to like swing in a circle. So like that was one visual we did not get in the movie.
No.
They're like, we don't have time for this.
Yeah. I also just realized, didn't they have something that was like attached to their belly?
Yeah, it was like a belly ring.
Yeah, like a sensor.
They did not have that in the movie.
No, they did not.
But again, that was like a, you know, minuscule detail, but they were like, we don't need that.
Right. Yeah.
Watch them clip on the belly ring. There'd be more questions.
Because she fell in the water. So before she got out of the water, this big thing was coming, and it's what we know as a helicopter. She doesn't know what it's called. And it's like circling and it's blowing away her whole camp. So she's like lost her sleeping bag and like all this sort of stuff all over the place. And she got ready to figure out the next clue. And it says, take the path you most despise, like after 4 days. And so she's going and going. And so she's going up the river. And they get to a fork in the river. And she remembers the conversation she had with Shay saying she despises her right side. So she goes right. And the next clue has something to do with firebug eyes. And she's trying to figure that out. But she's like, okay, I just need to take a nap. So she's going to fall. She fell asleep in these flowers. And she stayed hidden so that just in case someone came, they wouldn't find her. And that was a bad choice because she woke up with fire all around her.
Mm-hmm. I will say this whole part happens way quick in the movie. Like it didn't feel like she was out there for a week.
No, they montaged it.
Yeah. Very much. Yeah.
Which was sad because for me, reading it the very first time, that was like the meat of like she's on this adventure alone, figuring this stuff out. And like there was a lot of little details that I can remember from the book, like even reading it so long ago, around like there's a whole thing about unfolding your hoverboard so it could like recharge, but then if there was water she had to wait, so like that delayed her sometimes, and like sunburn patches, like there was so much more in the book that just got cut out.
Well, like this was also too because she's lived in Ugly Town, and they don't treat you like they do in Pretty Town, but it's very much a town where everything is given to you.
Yeah.
So this is her first time where she has to rough and tough it. And she has her backpack full of Spag Bowl and like all of the things that she could need, but she's out there doing it on her own, like you said. So I think they missed opportunity there in the movie.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to say too, I would mess up one part of this decrypted note and I would be like halfway across the other side of the country. Like I feel like I would not be able to follow these clues.
That's true. But I was trying to figure out some of them and I was like, there's no way
I don't get that one. And like really the only one she would know was the roller coaster one. She's like, I might know the other one. No, she wouldn't. Like all these other ones, she had to figure out that then and there. Like,
yeah.
What if she forgot the conversation about her and Shay?
Yeah, because it was like a minuscule. I wouldn't. I have so many conversations and then I forget. Someone will be like, oh, you remember when you said this to me? And I'll be like,
I would think
that left sounds
side.
Like me.
Yeah. No, I would have been out on the second clue. There's no way I'm going, like hurtling myself over a cliff.
No, that's exactly. I'd be like, the worst mistake. Okay.
Going on this stupid adventure.
Yeah.
So
She quickly rushes into the water and grabs her hoverboard because, you know, doesn't want it to catch on fire. And the helicopter comes again and she sees that it's the one shooting fire. And she is in the water and she's struggling now because she's weighted down. And finally she gets out and these people with giant bug-like eyes take her and bring her to safety because they're pretties, but they are rangers, which are basically they're helping this flower population die down and they help out the smoke and they bring the recruitments and they drop them off closer.
In the movie, David is the one who saves her out of this fire. David's not supposed to come up. He's supposed to still be this person that she's like, oh, he's not real. I don't know why she went to go see him. He's fake.
So my thoughts on this were watching it versus reading it first. So watching it, it made sense that it was David doing all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Reading it, I mean, I don't know if reading it first made sense, but reading it, I was confused because then I'm like, wait, so are these pretties like, did they leave? Is this a job? Like, it didn't make sense. I'm like, why are they helping the smoke? Because then I was like, okay, they just left. They aren't part of the pretty town anymore. They don't want to be, but they didn't want to change being pretty. But then later, when they talk about the brain lesions and quick thinking jobs, they say that rangers are one of the jobs that you can get where you don't get lesions. So I'm like, wait, so the rangers are a job for the pretties. So they haven't left the pretties. So why are they helping the smokies? I'm still confused by it.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I had thought that they were pretties who went and helped the smokies.
Yeah, but why would they do that? If they didn't.
No, because I think they wanted to be away from the pretty town. I think they.
Right. That's what I thought too, until they talked about the brain lesions and they're like, rangers are one of the quick thinking jobs, so their brains don't get altered. Because if they want to be a ranger, they need to be quick thinking. So it sounds like that's a real job, that real pretties still want to be pretty, like in Pretty Town do.
I bet you, because their brains don't get messed up, they actually can think about it and are like, Pretty Town is fucked. Like, okay. If you don't want to be a part of this, that is fine with me.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
I also don't want to be ugly.
Yeah, they were like, we have limits here. We'll help you. We don't want any part of this. We're going to go back to our home where the hole in the wall spits out everything we need.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it kind of sets the stage of like, kind of even being part of society, but being a free thinker already, they're kind of doing something that they probably shouldn't be doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
The only thing is that David's the one that finds her. Oh, so right. There's like, they don't really introduce us to the Rangers.
Okay. That's right.
Probably so that people don't get confused like you did.
So they check her out because David and Shay are with her now. And they found a bug on her board. And she's like, I didn't know that was there. And they're like, nah, they put it on everybody's board. Don't worry. And they threw it off, or they attached it to a bird or whatever they said they were going to do. And they had a lot farther to go. So they start going. And as soon as they get to the smoke, she's like, I'm going to activate my necklace as soon as I get there. Let's do it. And then I got to go home. And Shay and Tally brought her to the library to speak. Shay brought Tally to the library to speak with the boss. He's like this old ugly, and Tally is horrified at the way he looks. And they start looking at a magazine, and she sees all these people that are happy with being ugly, and she's just in shock. And then she sees a model, and she remembers about that disease, anorexia, they learned about. Like, how could anyone want this? And then the boss comes over and yells at them because they're not using gloves, because these are 300-year-old magazines.
So after David finds her, he not only finds the bug on her board, he then does a whole like body scan to see if she has a tracker anywhere else. I'm like, how did his scan not pick up on the necklace?
Because it wasn't activated. They said that in the book.
Oh, duh. Well, no, when he did the thing, you would think his thing would still see that it's something that could like phone home.
I know, but I guess she said because it wasn't activated that it's not a tracker right now. It's just a necklace.
Oh, okay.
According to the book.
But no, it's because we needed that dramatic, like, she's going to get caught.
Yeah.
Needed a tiptoe around this type of.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they don't go to a library. they don't meet the boss. I was kind of sad about that.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, really they don't take her to the smoke right away. They're like, you kind of got to hang out
for a little bit. Yeah, there's like the town on the edge before you can go into the smoke. And also Shay is there still. With how long Tally's been gone, you would think that Shay would be able to be in the smoke by now.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, she's still hanging out too.
Okay. So, Tally was horrified because they're cutting down real trees to build fire and build things. And she's like, this is like what the Rusties, like the basically us, did. She's like, this is awful. And she was telling everybody about her adventure on the way there. And she gave everyone life updates. And they, for work, they currently are digging up old railroads and putting them in the ground around town so that they have paths for their hoverboards, which are super smart. And yeah, and then she follows. Well, do you have anything with that?
They don't really, like, they do show her getting accustomed to life and being like, what the heck are we doing? This is weird. But like, they don't show much of anything else. And I also don't think that she bragged much about her travels, because like, that was the thing where like every new person she was like, oh yeah, I did this, or someone would come up to her and be like, wait, is it true you really slept out there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without a sleeping bag?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? So she went with David and they followed this train track to go build, like dig up more. And David ended up giving her his old gloves. And then this train track led to a tunnel. And he shares with her about how he was born there and his parents were the runaways and they were doctors and they used to be ugly, but they reversed the surgery. And Tally is
having, they used to be pretty.
Oh yes, yeah, sorry. They used to be pretty and now they're ugly. And Tally is having a slight panic attack because she's like, why would anyone do that? And he apologizes, he's sharing too much. And then she is just struggling if she should share this location with Dr. Cable, because the smoke is not just a runaway camp. It's like a town that has been created and like these people are living their lives.
Mm-hmm. And in both cases, Shay was real salty about this new development.
Yes. Except for I feel like the movie made it a bit more like, because did she explain in the book? I don't remember her explaining that like we don't get these things, so he had to make them. Oh, mm-hmm. I did not remember that. Yeah. When she was saying that, I was like, ooh, he did give you some special love.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
that was a piece that we got more in the book too, where like kind of the difference of life, where they really honed in on you don't just give stuff away, like it has to be traded. So like that's why her spag bowl was so valuable, and she immediately goes and like trades for like a sleeping bag and stuff like that, which we see none of in the movie.
No,
yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I forgot.
So she's like, I gotta go talk to Shay. She doesn't know how to bring it up about her necklace, but Shay is like, it's okay, I know. Someone gave you that necklace and you told them about the smoke and you're just excited they're coming and I really hope they come too. You know, that's how the people come to the smoke, is by people telling each other. And don't worry, your boyfriend will come. And Shay's just so happy for her.
I'm like, Shay, you've been her best friend and she's only been gone not even there for like 2 weeks. Do you really think she found someone that she liked that much to be like, come with me?
Like, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, like the only person you've heard her talk about up to this point was Paris, right? Who's pretty.
Oh my gosh. So Shay says that some people are still trying to figure out if they can trust Tally or not, but I trust you 100%. She's like, oh great, okay.
Great.
So Tally and Croy, who's this friend of Shay's, were chatting as they're doing their work together. He doesn't believe her and he's very suspicious of her. And later they do lunch, and now Shay's pissed off because David gave her the gloves. And Shay has been crushing on David. And she tells Tally that she needs to tell David about the necklace and that person that gave it to her. And later David asks if they can talk. And then she kind of starts, it's basically the same thing that happened to Shay. She sort of brings up her necklace. And he's like, I know, don't worry. I understand that he might come, the old boyfriend, blah, 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 blah. And he ends up saying, hey, I want you to meet my parents.
What's frustrating about how everyone reacts at the end, once it comes out that her necklace was really a tracker, is that she kept trying to tell people. And each time she had the intention of telling them, but then they took over the conversation. We're like, it's a boyfriend. And she's like, Yep. Whatever.
That's a really great point. She tried.
Uh-huh. So they go to his parents' house and they're getting to know them, and he wants them to tell her everything, and they're not pleased, but they agree. And they say, they tell her the truth about being pretty. And the reason they want, he's like, you got to find all this out, because they don't tell people, is because he's like, wow, you made it by yourself and everything like this. And he's like, no one ever does that. Clearly, like,
you really want to be here.
My first thoughts are probably the same as Croy. It's like, if she made it by herself, she clearly didn't do it.
Like, alone. Like,
yeah.
There's someone back in Pretty Town who is helping her.
Yeah. David, I don't know. He's just blinded a little bit by too love. Naive. Like, this ugly is so pretty. I just have to have her.
But also, it's kind of good that he does do this, because if he didn't tell her the truth or have them tell her the truth, she would have still been like, nah, I'm not here for you guys. Like, make me pretty.
I know. Which is unfortunate that they don't tell everyone that if they're about to leave. Like, because it's like, yeah, what? I mean, they say they don't because it'll get back to the town and then people start really not believing them and all this sort of stuff. But like, that's a big...
It's a big... I think if I were in this society and I had gone to the smoke for whatever reason, if they didn't tell me it, obviously I would go back. But if they told me, I would be like, well, no, that's screwed up. They're trying to do stuff to my brain. I'm not okay with that. But also, I really love when they're explaining this to her and she's like, they explain how they like shave down your bone and like do all this. And she's like, I didn't realize this. I was like, how do you think they change your face?
Magic. Magic wand. There you go. So his parents let them know that they used to be cosmetic doctors and they would often perform the surgeries that make people pretty. They figured out that people who become pretty have lesions in their brains that uglies don't. So after doing a little bit more research, special circumstances came in and said, you need to stop this or you're losing your licenses. And they decided to run away because they couldn't not stop thinking about this information they found. And they know that being pretty now also changes the way you think, but it doesn't for quick thinking jobs, as we said, like firefighters, doctors, politicians, the Rangers. And they made themselves turn ugly again by this like pill that if they took it over like a month or however long, it would like form them back.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, this is the way to go, because it formed them back, but they kept all their like pretty features, such as like good health, good teeth, good like all this. I'm like, okay, well, I could look like me, but I could be healthier.
I'll do that.
Right. Because they needed to start their own community, so they were like, no one's gonna follow us if we're pretty, so we need to go back to being as ugly as we can. That's awful. I feel bad.
Essentially that happens. Mm-hmm. It's a bit more condensed in the movie, just to then have them go and screw up the end. But
right.
Like, we need more time for this, and this end is going to be great.
Yep. So they end up leaving, and Tally and David have a long talk about how he thinks she's beautiful. And she's like, do you think I'm more beautiful than Shay? And he's like, yes. And Tally's like, no, that's the problem. That's why we get these surgeries, so that no one's more beautiful than the other. And he's like, that just doesn't make sense. That's not, I'm just telling you how I feel. And they end up kissing. And he's like, well, what about that necklace? And she took him to the fire and she threw in the necklace and it popped. And she felt so free. And she fell asleep great and woke up in pure chaos.
In the movie, they weren't like together. Like, they hadn't just been making out when she went and threw the necklace in the fire. She just, it's almost like she threw the necklace in the fire because she was like, this is not okay what they are doing.
Hmm. So the chaos that breaks out is now special circumstances are there. And all of the Smokies are bound up and put in the rabbit pen. And she ran and she sees the boss. And he's like, okay, do you want to run away and save these magazines? Or do you want to be the distraction and put chili pepper in their face? And she's like, I'm going to run away. And he's like, sorry, you don't have shoes on here. And so then
That was such a bizarre conversation.
It really was.
Logical, but you're like, what?
And so he convinced her, or she got caught, but she convinced her captor to open this bottle that had the chili pepper in it. And she begins coughing and eyes watering and everything. And she ends up escaping. But then she, of course, gets caught again and brought to the pen with no shoes and tied up.
In the movie, essentially, she throws the necklace into the fire, and then Special Circumstances is there right then and there, and Paris is there, and they've got the whole entire Smokies in a little circle, because David and Tally were like, oh, we gotta get back to the town, and they get there, and everyone's in a freaking circle with the Specials in the middle, with David's parents right there, and Paris is there, getting mad at David's parents. And Cable's there and is like, where's your son? There's so much wrong with this aunt.
I will say, it was weird because in the moment of watching it, I didn't realize this, but like reading it when she destroyed it, I knew that's what called them. So I don't know if they make note of that in the movie, but that's why they came. Because when I was watching it, because they were there so fast, I thought, that the tracker had just been a tracker. And they're like, okay, she's been in this area for a long time. That must be where it is. Mm-hmm. And so they just went there. So it wasn't until...
Yeah.
But then reading it right when she threw it in the fire, I was like, you just called them right then. So I don't really know where I got
confused. Where you got confused. That's hilarious. Yeah, I guess I'll stop there. Because now this is where the book and the movie are just like...
Totally different.
Yeah.
And they did so good.
I remember the book... crystal clear, and already, even though the movie was the last thing I watched, like the last thing I consumed before this, I like don't really remember. I know it's different, but I don't remember.
Well, that's why we split it up, because in worst case, one of us remembers the other one a little bit better.
Yeah, because man, the start of the movie, I don't remember the start of the movie much. I remember the end because that's when everything was like, what are you even doing here right now?
Oh my gosh. All right, so in the book, Shay and Croy are in the pen, and Shay is pissed because she knows that this was all Tally's doing, and Tally didn't believe it. She's like, no, I in her head, she's like, I broke the necklace, I threw it away, I burned it, it's not my fault. And then these people brought her to Dr. Cable, and Dr. Cable said, as soon as the device breaks, basically in a conversation, she's like, because Tally was like, well, what if I died out there? And Dr. Cable was like, well, we would find your body, because as soon as the device breaks, it calls us. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's what happened. And so Tally made up this long lie about how she activated it right when she got there. It just took her longer to get there. And Dr. Cable's like, okay, fine, go get the necklace and then we'll go make you pretty. So she had to now come up with this plan, because Special Circumstances is bringing her somewhere. So they brought her to the roof because she wanted to go there, because that's where all the hoverboards are. So then she keeps like faking like, oh no, I'm falling. Oh no, I'm so clumsy. And so he's like, oh my gosh. So he just uncuffs her. And this is when she snaps the hoverboard up and like he falls off the roof and she ends up flying away and travels far away and finds a cave, and there's David in the cave.
Okay. Spoiler alert. This is when Paris kills David's dad. And he just walks up and breaks his neck. And then I wanted to ask you, since you've read the books, do you remember, is David's dad actually dead? Because I felt like it was like this, like he was taken away and no one saw him, so they just assumed. So I was like, I bet he comes back in future books. But now in this movie, he's dead.
No, he does die in the book as well. Okay. But I think it's like later. It's okay. It wasn't right away. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, it was supposed to be this, like, we're assuming he's dead because he was gone. And I think like one of the specials came and was like, yeah, he's dead or something like that. But in the movie, it was just cool. He died in front of everyone.
Like in the book, we're told he went to surgery and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
But we never see a body to confirm type of thing. Mm-hmm. Is what you're saying.
So when I saw that in the movie, I was like, I haven't read the other books. but I really don't think he died right off the bat. Like,
yeah, that was very aggressive. If you read the book and then you watched the movie, I was like, oh my gosh, wait.
Yes. Especially having Paris kill him. I was like, this does not seem like a Paris thing. Like,
well, no,
I guess he's mind controlled now. But yeah. So then this is also the point in the movie when Tally runs in the middle, is like, you told me no one would get hurt.
Yeah.
So then everyone's like, she knew.
You brought that to us.
Because even at this point, the only person that knows really is Shay.
Yeah.
And Shay doesn't even know. She just assumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nope. So. Nope. Instead, she goes and tells everyone in the movie.
Yep. Well, it does not happen in the book. Her and David travel for a very long time because they're going to go figure out and save her parents. But before all that, hang on, I skipped a bunch. Tally came up with this long lie about how she knows where special circumstances is because on the adventure of her escaping Pretty Town, she was brought there because she couldn't say, oh, yeah, I know where it is because I was...
I helped them out.
I helped them find become you. A spy and betray you all. Yeah. Oops, sorry.
My bad.
I got here and you're actually really cool.
Yeah, right. I changed my mind. So they're working on a plan on how to save all the Smokies. And then they went back to camp and a bunch of shoes are left because everybody knew she didn't have shoes. So they all kicked their shoes off for her. Oh, that was so sweet. And then she feels awful because mm-hmm. she did this to them. Mm-hmm. And then she grabs a pair and they went to David's parents' house. And David, they weren't there. And he tries to cut the wristband, the plastic handcuffs off of Tally, but they wouldn't cut. And so now her lie is becoming a little rockier because she's like, oh, I just used a rock. And it's seeming more suspicious, but he's like, whatever. And he's like, my parents are taken because they would never leave this knife behind. And so he showed him all these like backpacks that they had prepared for emergency evacuation situations. And then on the way, they figured, I guess I keep going because it's totally different.
I was going to say, I'm going to keep trying to jump in and just say what's going on differently. But I don't remember what happens between the dad dying and them getting into the lab in the movie. I almost feel like except for they didn't get captured.
Maybe nothing happened. Maybe that they just jumped. Did they just jump really fast?
I don't know, because it feels like they're trying to, like...
We're professionals on this podcast.
I think it's something that 0 out of 3 remember what's...
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That's very true. I think somehow David and Tally and his mom run away. And they captured the rest of the town.
Yeah, I think they ran to a cave because he got super pissed at her. And she's like apologizing and everything like that. But it was like just the three of them when they did that.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, we got to go save the rest of the people who were just caught. Which I'm like, you were just with them. Why didn't you just take them with you?
Remember? I think did everyone get taken? And then basically it was on David and Tally. And she's like, we're going to go get them. That's where she knows where like special circumstances is. And that's where they like start mm-hmm. talking to the younger uglies in the town.
Yeah.
To like break into certain. That's how they all end up there. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Sweet. So they figure it'll take them 10 days to get to New Pretty Town. Tally's like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to be pretty by then. And so they chat on the way. And this is when we find out that the Rusties died out because someone plagued their oil, which was kind of scary to read because, yep, that would kill us all, wouldn't it?
That would do it.
Yeah.
So they finally got to the city and they wandered around. And David's getting real nervous because there's cars moving and stuff. And Tally's like, oh, they're all like generated, operated. They're not, people aren't driving them. And he's learning.
Isn't that scary that that's now a thing too?
Yeah, I know. He's like learning all these things, whereas she was learning all these things in the smoky, in the mm-hmm. smoke. So now she's like, oh, it's kind of fun. Twisted. just twisted around now. So they went to the Rusty Ruins and they figured out that what they need to do is they need bungee jackets. And David and Tally ran into 3 uglies. And she made it seem like the smoke is still a thing. And she asked if they wanted to help. And the uglies they went to New Pretty Town and they lit off sparklers and saying the smoke lives or the smoke survives or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was glad that they still had that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, good. At least she did that in the rest of this that got screwed up.
And then her and David jumped and they landed on special circumstances roof or somewhere over there.
In the movie, they jumped into the building.
Yeah.
Where they were so safe. Like this door is closing and they just slide right on in.
And then, Hollywood magic.
Yeah, exactly. And then they go into this room to try and break everyone out. But really, it's a room where Cable's going to try and make David, Tally, and his mom pretty. Mm-hmm. So they all get put into these little canisters and you get tricked because you think they're about to get turned pretty. Mm-hmm. And I was mad. I was like, if these three get turned pretty right here, right now, there's no saving this movie.
Oh my gosh. So they start exploring the inside of this building in the book with and they go down this elevator shaft and they hear voices, but then they can't see anyone and they keep exploring. And finally they run into Dr. Cable and Tally knocks her out somehow, or someone knocks her out. She gets knocked out because she's laying on the floor. And then she sees Shay and Shay is pretty.
Yeah, that was a big, I was like, oh no.
I was so sad for
poor
her.
Poor Shay.
Yep.
But Shay did not care because she had brain lesions now. Yes.
So Tally was talking to Shay and she could tell that she was drunk because she had just been at a party and she's totally different. She gave up the smoky life pretty fast and they ended up finding the others and they all escaped and they found out that David's father had died. And then they went to the roof to hoverboard away.
Oh, before they tried to turn Tally, David, and his mom pretty, Shay was there and she turned around and was like, it's not bad, guys. It's great. Be pretty with me. And they were like, no. And then Croy is the one who helps him escape because he has a helicopter and shoots into the building. I can't.
In the movie?
Yeah. I remember him in a helicopter when he helps him escape. But I'm also like, you're supposed to be one of the ones that's tied up right now. So who are they helping escape right now?
Good point.
Somehow he escaped too.
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
I should just finish the movie because I only have like 6 notes left.
Sure.
Because then after Croy helps them escape, there's this big huge battle with everyone and Paris is fighting people and he ends up getting another cut on his hand, which creates the exact same scar that he had with Tally. So then they have this moment where he's like, are you gonna stay in Pretty Town? And she's like, I want to, because she sees that scar and she's like, my best friend. But I wanted to be like, girl, he got that being in a fight. He's still super pretty. Like, that's not your best friend. So then David sees this. And even though he has now found out that Tally betrayed them all, he runs over and is like, you can't be talking to my girl, and fights Paris. And then Paris dies. Or at least he gets thrown off of a freaking bridge into water. And so you assume he's dead.
He's fine. He'll be back later.
He survived it. Now. Say, special pretty doesn't die.
Oh my gosh.
And then part of why David, Tally, and his mom were going in there was because David's mom needed to grab what she needed for the cure for the pretties to become ugly again. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, we got it. And then I have a note that says Cable could kill you, and I don't know what that means. I think David said that to Tally. Oh, when they're talking about how they want to put it on or give Shay the cure, but they're like, we can't because she's not willing. So Tally's like, okay, I'm going to go in there. David's like, well, Cable can kill you. And I was like, Cable has been wanting Tally to come and turn pretty. Do you really think she's going to be like, oh, you just helped everyone escape, I'm going to kill you now? And I swear in the book, Tally just walked into New Pretty Town and was like, hey, guys, make me pretty. But instead, she has to like go and get caught by the specials.
Well, she does get caught, but it's very much like, hey. And then she says, hey, I'm pretty. Make me pretty. Or,
hey, I'm pretty. I'm pretty. Yeah, whereas in the movie, she's like, oh, I'm Tally. What, Youngblood? Is that her last name?
Yep.
I'm Tally Youngblood. Take me to Pretty Town or whatever. And I was like, this is way more dramatic than I thought. And then we get to see Tally pretty at the end of the movie.
Well, thank you for spoiling the whole book for me.
You're welcome.
So they basically
on the hoverboards. We're rewinding a bunch now. And so they're on their hoverboards and they get to like this cave sort of thing where they start basically a new smoky camp-ish. Mm-hmm. And so then his mom had gotten information off this tablet or something that about the lesions. And so she's like, I think I know how to fix this. And so they're working on it. And in 20 days, she figures it out. And they ask Shay and she's like, no, why would I want to change? And Maddie and David are like, okay. And Tally's like, what? And they say, David's dad died because he went in for an experimental surgery and he never came back. So Maddie will not do this unless she has a willing subject. And Tally's like, I'll do it. And this is when she tells David everything. And David still is like, oh my gosh, and does not want her to risk her life for this. And Maddie's like, nah, she wants to. Let her do it.
We got stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly. So
this will help us. We will know if we can fix everyone.
She killed my husband. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. So Shay wanted to go back with Tally. And at first Tally didn't want her to, but then she's like, whatever. And then they do. Tally gets caught and she's like, make me pretty. And that's how the book ends.
I was so mad. I didn't realize it was going to end on such a cliffhanger, even though I knew that it was part of a series. But I was like, oh no, I need to know what's happening. And then it was like, end credits. And I was like, no. There's still more to the story. Tell me.
Yep.
We did it.
You have anything we missed? Work.
No, but randomly my brain just did go back to when we were talking about how like in the flower field, like in the movie, they didn't have the rangers. And that made sense because also in the book, it was just an invasive species. It had nothing. It was not like a cure or like any answer to anything. It was just someone who like biologically engineered the flower and it became invasive. So it makes sense that they had rangers to like burn it down versus that wouldn't have made sense in the movie because like that was their answer. It wasn't, you know, as like I totally big of an issue. That like randomly popped in halfway through the end and I was like, nope, we don't need to talk about this right now. Just tuck it away for later. But yeah.
Hey, I'm glad you remembered that.
Yes. The most jarring thing for me like towards the end was like around the cure because I still think in the book we just get way more kind of explanation and it was more of a process where Maddie was making the cure versus in the movie where she's like, here it is and like I'm slips running. It into it's already a vial and you're like, wait, what? Hang on.
Because part of why she doesn't want to do it on Shay is because she's like, this is something that I'm creating from scratch, so I don't even know if it's going to work. This could do more harm than help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the movie, she's like, got this pill. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Well, awesome. We did it. All right. So now we talk about cast. And so.
So like if there's anyone you want to recast.
Or.
Yep. Or we talk about if we like them or didn't like them.
Yes.
I'm so terrible at this. I'm like the worst at actors.
No. I am too. I am too.
But I love your thoughts.
Yes. I have a degree in film. So I'm the one who's like, always like, oh, I think this person would have been better or this person.
She'll say, and I was like, I don't even have any idea who you're talking about. Like, she has to pull up pictures of them.
Or tell her it was this person in this movie or this show.
Yep. That's me. Yep.
All right. Well, IMDb cast 64 people for this movie. And we got first Joey King as Tally.
So typically I hate Joey King. She usually gets on my nerves. Mm-hmm. But in this role, I loved her.
I thought she did really good.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, you might. I think all of the roles I've seen her in has been a villain role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a role where you're meant to hate her. And she plays it so well that I hate her.
Mm-hmm. She's very good in this room.
Poor girl.
I know. So then we have Brienne Zhu, I think, as Shay.
I like that we almost kind of share a name.
I know.
Very close. Change that E on your name, girl.
I liked her.
She wasn't who I was picturing, but and I do wish that the writers wrote her to be a bit more happy in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but I think she did good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't picture her when I read it, but when you see her in the movie, I'm like, oh, this feels like it fits.
Yeah. I also think when I was growing up, 12-year-olds looked like little kids. So to me, I had like me and my friends in my head for Shay almost. Mm-hmm. So then when you see in the movie, and not even just the movie, I feel like kids nowadays, you say, oh, they're 12. I look at them and I'm like, she looks like she could be 16, 17, 18. Like, what is going on? So I think that too kind of also played into like me at first being like, you're not really Shay. But then I was like, okay, you are
supposed
Shay.
To be 16.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Well, in my head, I was still picturing a little 12-year-old. Oh.
All right. Then we have Keith Powers as David.
I liked him. Yeah. I thought he was really good. Mm-hmm.
Chase Stokes as Paris.
32-year-old that I did not even know was 32.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was like creepy pretty.
I know. I didn't think he was super, super pretty when he was pretty.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I was like, ooh, why did you guys make those choices?
Yeah. I was just about to say that I feel like there is extra consideration in especially the first movie. But if they do continue to make the rest of them, I'll be interested to see how the transitions go. Because like we talked about, you know, the specials are technically supposed to be, yeah, like they're creepy and they're intense and they look kind of just off.
Yeah.
But it's interesting with the casting to like have that special consideration of like going from an ugly to a pretty of like how much can you change? Are you planning to like CGI or whatnot? You know?
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing. Like before I had read the book and when the movie was first coming out, I was like, man, you're casting these people to be like, yep, you're ugly and you're ugly.
But in reality, Check. It's just you're normal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Laverne Cox as Dr. Cable.
She got so much flack for this role, and I think it's because she is a trans woman who people wanted to see her in a good role, I think. I thought she did great as a bad guy.
Yeah.
I loved it. But yeah. I remember when this first came out, everyone who is in like that community or very aware of that community was very much like, I don't like this. They didn't do her justice. This is horrible.
Oh, interesting. I did not hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did great. But
I did too. As I was watching it, I was like, I think it's the implications of putting a trans woman in a villain role.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the issue comes. But I'm like, if she got a role, support that and support how she plays it. Because obviously she didn't care.
Yeah.
So
then we got Charmaine Lee played Maddie. So what's his name's mom? David's mom.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, she did good. And J. Devon Johnson played as his dad.
I love that guy. I was sad when he just up and died.
Very quickly.
I know. I was like, this poor dude is a really good actor. Yeah. And he got killed really quick when he's not even really supposed to be dead right now.
Then we have
Jan Luis Castellanos.
Sure. Played Croy.
I pictured kind of a... I have a picture of a person in my head and I can't figure out who it is. I pictured like a grubby kid with like long blonde hair.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of like in Percy Jackson, his brother, the Cyclops. Trevor?
Oh.
Troy? Starts with a T. But they also cast a really bad person for that. But anyway. But that's what I was picturing. So then when this like buff bald dude came on the screen, I was like,
oh,
who are you?
Oh, that's funny. I think he aligned with what I pictured because he was always kind of the one that was like maybe a little more like intimidating and not quite believing Tally's story. Yeah. So I'm like, here's a problem. Not problem. He was right. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. So that's all the cast we picked. We're not going to go over all 64 people. Mm-hmm. So then we have questions like, is the theme of the book and movie the same?
Yeah.
I think the theme is ugly versus pretty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the theme is the same. And I just think the book makes it, it's a little more kind of I think, intentional. We get little snippets of it in the movie, but I think the movie is easier to take as just like entertainment. You kind of watch it and you're like, oh, yeah, they don't want to be pretty, like dystopian society, and move on, versus the book kind of tends to get you like thinking a little bit. I like pulled two quotes out of the whole book, and the first one was talking about why they make people pretty. And she talks about like there's a certain kind of beauty, big eyes, full lips like a kid, smooth and clear, symmetrical features, a thousand other little clues, talking about that like we're looking for these markers, and that a million years of evolution had made it a part of the human brain, that we're looking for these markers, that is this person healthy, you know, are they okay, or are they sick, and we look for these things. So I like kind of the more the explanation, the biological explanation, like, yeah, I kind of nerd out on that kind of stuff, rather than like, well, we just want to make everyone pretty. Like,
yeah, it's, yeah,
like kind of a legit like scientific reason for it. And then also when Tally and David were talking more about like the history and why things were happening, and she was like, well, why didn't they teach us that? And he goes, she goes, I wonder why they don't tell us that in history class. They usually love any story that makes the rest sound pathetic. David lowered his voice. Maybe they didn't want you to realize that every civilization has its weakness. There's always one thing we depend on. And if someone takes it away, that's all that's left in some story in history class. So like, again, I think there was kind of, it felt like there was like higher stakes, that it wasn't just this kind of like silly idea, but like, what if the society looked like this, you know? So yeah.
Oh yeah. I think it's scary for me when I read books now and think, wow, this could actually happen.
Yeah.
Especially with the state of things at the moment. I'm like, I could see it happening. I could see us being like, oh, we want to control each other, and so we're going to make each other pretty. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's why I enjoyed this book this time, when I was worried about not enjoying it, because I was like, wow, there's way deeper meanings to this rather than just, oh, you ugly, let's make you pretty. Oh my gosh.
All right, so do the characters stay true to the movie to how they're written? I think except most Shay. Of them.
Shay and Paris are my two that I'm like,
oh yeah, Paris.
Because at first I was gonna be like, absolutely not, and then I was like, oh wait, for the majority,
yeah,
yes,
they do.
It's just the two that I would have wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And which do you prefer?
I prefer the book. I almost said movie. I just like it, like we just talked about, I like the deeper meanings of it. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I just think it's more fun. Plus, how do you screw up the book's ending? Like, literally, I think if they had kept to the ending, it would have been a hard decision for me, because mm-hmm. the movie was really fun and enjoyable, and I was like, oh cool, they haven't changed too much. And then it got to the end and I was like, you're changing the whole, like, I don't want to say the whole story, but essentially like how the story goes.
That was mine too. I would have had a hard time if the ending was the same, but because mm-hmm. the ending was different, I like the book better too.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Like I said, being able to visualize what some of this like technology and stuff looked like, mm-hmm. like I do hope they continue on, because I would love to see more of New Pretty Town, because that was fun. Like, yes. I loved that. So yeah. I'd love to see more of that. But yeah, the book just gives more.
Yeah, I hope they continue.
I know. Yeah, because I would think so. It feels like it's done well.
I enjoyed it. So I'm like, come on, Netflix, pick it up. But also I'm like, I plan on going and reading the books now just for myself.
Yes.
But I'm like, I'm worried with how the ending goes, how Netflix would bring things back on track. Okay. So I'm like, kind of like the Divergent series, where yeah. they just like, they took the story and did their own thing, and then they veered off so far where like the start of the next movie I was like, this is not the story that I
but I loved. Feel like it's close enough, like they did a big huge chunk that it's like, okay, what? But in the end she became pretty,
yeah,
and she supposedly was going to become pretty, and now it's just, is David going to come and help her?
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
they, if they continue
that's
it, they
true.
Could
that's
they,
true.
At least right now. Yeah. It's the Paris part that I'm like,
yeah.
But maybe does that happen? Does he get to be? Let's do on it spoiled.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I'm fine with it.
I don't remember exactly. I do think so, like I said, each book is basically her getting turned into something else, like different. Yeah. So, but I think most people like follow her along that journey in that group. So,
yeah. Ooh, that actually sounds really interesting.
I was just gonna say, whoa, she gets special.
I remember most of Pretties. I think Special and Extras is where I get lost a little bit. So I'm also plan to reread where to see how it resolved, because I don't remember that.
Yeah, now I'm even more excited to read.
All right, and our last question is, would you recommend it to a friend?
Oh, for sure.
Yes,
I would. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. All right, well, you guys, that's the end of our episode. We have a website you can check out,
offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript. Yeah. Which means our listeners can't pick that up.
On all our bios and everything, go for it. You can rate us, subscribe, and review there.
Mm-hmm.
Can look at what's coming up this season.
Sign up to drop bookmarks at little free libraries near you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. Lots of fun stuff. Learn about us. Monday, we're doing Under the Bridge.
Oh my gosh, guys, I'm actually really excited about this one.
Yes.
It'll be so fun. I cannot
wait.
Do you want to plug yourself? Where can our listeners find you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you can watch, I do video podcasts. You can watch on YouTube and Spotify. And then you can also find me on Instagram at Busy Reading Romantasy, as well as TikTok. But TikTok had to be difficult and that username was taken. So it's Busy Reading Romantasy with periods in between. It's fine.
Yeah. Hey, all our social media is different too for the same reason.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Hey, thanks, other people with this
thanks
name.
Thanks a lot. Check out my link tree.
Yes, exactly. But okay, well, great.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Thank you. Oh,
thank you. I also had a blast. Yeah, I love talking about this stuff. So.
All right. So with that,
uglies
went off script.
Woohoo.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romantasy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for Book Tales.